Prepare to Pivot is a series of conversations with Dr. Andrew Barnes, Dean of the School of the Arts, Communications, and Global Studies at York College of Pennsylvania. Dean Barnes talks with leaders in the college, YCP alums, and members of the York community about the importance of the liberal arts in preparing students to build careers where essential skills like critical and creative thinking, effective communications, and analytical reasoning make all the difference. And now, here's Dean Barnes.
Well, hello. Welcome back to the podcast. My name is Andy Barnes, and I'm the Dean of the School of the Arts, Communication, and Global Studies here at York College of Pennsylvania. And I'm back here with Brian Hazlett, who's the Vice President of Enrollment Management. Brian, today I want to talk about a little bit about the history of the liberal arts, because a lot of people don't know the history of liberal arts. They've heard the word liberal arts a lot. Some people think it's a conservative thing, but it's not. So I wanted to give a little bit of a history, but I wanted to start with this question for you. Hey, sure. Brian, what do you know about the history of the liberal arts?
Yes, as I'm a little embarrassed as a history major.
Yeah,
I may not be able to define that as well as it should be defined, but you know, in terms of when we work with students, we talk about it in the sense that it, you know, liberal arts to us is that it teaches you to communicate well, critically think, and speak well.
Yeah.
And be able to look at a problem, analyze it, break it down, and be able to provide some insight and some direction from it. So, you know, maybe my version of liberal arts is a little bit more modern than the true historical perspective of it, but you know, from my positionality, that's kind of the verbiage that we use on a daily basis when we're working with students.
You know, your definition is not ahistorical. It's not, because what you're describing are skills that are taught sort of higher level thinking skills, right? And that's very much the history of liberal arts. Because the idea of liberal arts, first of all, we have to kind of get rid of this notion that liberal arts has to do anything with politics. Mm-hmm. In this country, we talk about liberal and conservative. The liberal arts existed, you know, back in Greek and Roman times, so it had really nothing to do with politics, but it comes from the word, you know, liberal, which is to liberate, which is to free. And so that's where liberal arts came from. And it really was in Greek and Roman times and in the Middle Ages and the Renaissance. It was available to men, only men, this kind of education, who were free men. That is, people who had money, people who had land, or people who were in the upper class, and they were allowed to go study these higher thinking, these higher sort of thought things, ethics, grammar was one of the sort of liberal arts in the Greek and Roman time. So it was really for people who were in charge, really for the people who ran everything. They were allowed to go study these higher, because they were the thinkers, right? They were the ones who were running society. Everybody else, and the majority of us, and you know, my history would be my family, I would be part of this. We were laborers. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, we were taught one thing, to labor. You were either a farmer, you learned to farm. You were either a bricklayer, and that's what you learned. Your focus was simply on the labor you were doing. And you weren't concerned about thinking about what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, what is sort of the ethical thing to do. That wasn't your responsibility. Your responsibility was to go out every day and you know, make bricks. My last name is Barnes. You can imagine that we were farmers, and that's where our kind of name came from. So that's all we were concerned about. So the idea of liberal arts in the very beginning was it was open to people, men only, who had the money and the birthright to be able to study these higher things. That's where the idea of liberal arts came from. And when it was open in the Renaissance, really to, again, noble people and also monks. People, you know, if you were a monk, you got this well. But most of us were just laborers. But then it started to change. And when it came to America especially, the liberal arts was, the universities were fashioned so that the liberal arts were available to anyone. Doesn't matter where you were born, doesn't matter what class you were born in, it doesn't matter where you came from. You could go to university and study and get a degree the way people did who were in charge. So we weren't saying that just because you were born in this class, you can only do this. Anyone. So that's where the sort of liberal arts came from. And in America, it's different than in Europe. You know, in Europe, if you're going to college, if you're going to university, most of them, you're going to a university that is focused on a profession.
On a profession, yeah.
Because right. for them, in the European style, you learned liberal arts in what our high school is. Mm-hmm. And that's not our... But when it came here, when universities began here, there was this decision to open it up to anybody. So anybody could come. So we have this thing called liberal arts. And so when you get a bachelor's degree here in the United States, if you're going to get a bachelor's degree, it has to have liberal arts attached to it. That's what makes it a bachelor's degree, as opposed to going to trade school. And there's nothing wrong about right. trade school. Mm-hmm. You know, people who find their skill set and find kind of joy in being plumbers or being carpenters, that's great. Mm-hmm. And those are really good. But if you want to get a bachelor's degree, you have to come to a university and get a degree with a liberal arts attached to it. And that and the, so the idea is still the same. The liberal arts sort of allows you to develop those higher thinking skills mm-hmm. like those men did back in Greek and Roman times who were in charge of everything. Right. So liberal arts really kind of makes you, allows you to be in charge. It really allows you to be sort of the one that can, you know, come from nothing, basically, and be in charge of CEO someday. Mm-hmm. In fact, you look at around most of the big companies, the Fortune 500s, mm-hmm. many, many, many of the CEOs, they have liberal arts degrees.
Yeah, that doesn't, I mean, that doesn't really, that doesn't yeah. surprise me. I think that's, it. To me, I kind of view it as it's the, you know, the tracks that the train follows. It kind of is the core. You know, that, yeah. that liberal arts is the core. And then, you know, you just, you kind of load up the train as you're going through yeah, your degree right. And you, but you can have it in specialty areas like business or,
that's right.
or you can continue to have it in a, you know, in a true liberal arts field, like an English major or something that's such right. as that. Yep.
It's interesting. You know, if you go to a European school and you graduate with a degree in, let's say, I don't know, business, mm-hmm. your career is going to be in business because mm-hmm. that's what you're trained. Mm-hmm. And that's, probably all your career will be in mm-hmm. business. Mm-hmm. If you get a degree in the United States, and this is one reason why a lot of Europeans, a lot of people all around the world mm-hmm. come to the United States to get a degree. If you get a degree here because you have the liberal arts, you can pivot. Mm-hmm. You can have it. In fact, that's one of my sort of vision or my mottos as the dean of a college of liberal arts is that we prepare you to pivot. Mm-hmm. Because you have these liberal arts things, you can have a mid-career change. I certainly did. You know my story. I've told it before. Yeah. I had an accounting degree, and I changed, and I'm mm-hmm. now a dean of arts and communications. Mm-hmm. Right. So I could do that, and we mm-hmm. we allow that here. I mean, a bachelor's degree allows you to do that here.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I think you even saw it in the past several years. Is that I think, you know, the people that I've hired have very diverse backgrounds, different types of degrees. Many of them have liberal arts core yeah. foundational type degrees. And they've been able to pivot, as you said, yeah. you know, as our work environment has changed over the past several years, they've been able to pivot and change and address things differently than they may have had to do it a few years ago. So, you know, I think for us is that in our field, at least in the enrollment field, you know, the ability for someone to have that skill set that, yeah. that a liberal arts degree creates allows them to work with just about any type of individual.
That's right.
And they're also, you know, they have very different and very, diverse perspectives that they can provide as well sure. when they're looking at individuals that are looking at the college.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes, I mean, that's kind of sort of the engine that makes this country run. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, we are, I used to teach in Italy. I used to live in Europe. And what I always heard from people is that, and you hear this constantly, that in America, you can be innovative. In America, you can really create what mm-hmm. can't necessarily be created in other places because mm-hmm. we are broadly focused and we teach you to look at the world broadly and to look innovatively, which is completely different than in the European style. It concerns me, though, that there's a lot of pressure right now on the liberal arts mm-hmm. From the outside that what is the importance of the liberal arts? We're getting that a lot. And it concerns me that if we keep going down this path, that we're going to diminish the liberal arts mm-hmm. and we'll turn into what our European fatherland, motherland, whatever. Right, right, right. And that concerns me because that will really limit people in their choices on what they want to do in a career. They'll have to choose, as you do in Europe, you have to choose quite early. 16, 17, based on your scores.
Define your path.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Based on your scores from high school, basically. Mm-hmm. And if you do well in X, that's what you're going to do. And for me, that's not liberal in the sense of freedom, the freedom to choose what you want to do.
Freedom, or even in the sense of access. So you think about, you know, do you, the nice thing about, the beautiful thing about our system in the United States is that, you know, most students can find a pathway to a four-year degree. There are a lot of schools that are out there that will help the affordability side of that. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to put a student on a particular track because you don't want to hinder that creativity.
That's right.
I mean, a student, you know, they're not even fully developed in their mindset at that point. I'm not sure if I am yet, even at my point in my life. But it's really, you don't want to do anything that's going to hinder that creativity, because then as a country and a nation, that's when you lose the ability to pivot.
That's right.
You know, you really do, because I think that's something that you don't develop that skill set.
Yeah, and here at York and a lot of colleges, you can come here and let's say you start in majoring in business or in engineering, and you get your freshman year, it's okay. Your sophomore year, you could kind of realize, yeah, this is not what I want to do. Mm-hmm. This is, you can pivot, you can change. Mm-hmm. You can decide to change your majors to another major, to a liberal arts or a STEM major. But you can change. Mm-hmm. And that, being in a college that has liberal arts, that has a bachelor degree, that is an American university, allows you to change, allows you to pivot even in college. But it also is just giving you the skill set so that when you get out and if you're in a job, you thought, oh, I really wanted to do this. I really wanted to be a nurse. I'm not picking on nurses. Nurses are great. But you get out there and you realize, oh, this is not for me. Mm-hmm. But you have the skill set to say, okay, what else can I do?
Right.
How can I pivot to some other career? And even if you become wise old men, like we, not that we would, but we have the ability to say, hey, I want to do something different now in my later in my life. And you've been taught that. You've been given kind of the skill set to do that. And I think that's what's kind of sort of awesome about it. For us, again, like I was talking in our last broadcast, that we in the liberal arts have to start thinking about the way in which the humanities or liberal arts are applied. And I think you know this, that I'm working on a degree called Applied Humanities that will use the humanities to focus on real world issues in a community. And I think that's kind of our future. But well, that's a little bit of history of liberal arts, in case you didn't know.
No, so this was educational for me, for sure.
Now you know where it came from and why it's important, and I hope that we can continue to focus on liberal arts and really advocate for the liberal arts. That's a huge part of my job, what I do here.
And I would say, you know, Andy, from an enrollment perspective here at the college, I mean, no matter what major they're looking at, engineering, as I said, to, you know, any of the sciences, you know, ultimately, at some point in the conversation, liberal arts comes up. Yeah. It may just not come up in the sense of, you know, using the term liberal arts.
Yeah.
But the things that families ask for, they don't realize the questions that they're asking are really the foundation elements of a liberal arts degree.
That's right. And I think it's part of it. It's just that it's semantics. It's the language. People, when they hear liberal arts, they hear politics. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we call humanities the same thing, but humanities doesn't really tell them anything anyways. So I think that these two words have kind of fallen out of our vocabulary when we're younger. I don't know, maybe that comes from high schools have so focused on teaching to the test that they're not necessarily talking about those skills like liberal arts.
Right, right.
And so maybe that fell out, but when people hear liberal arts or humanities, they're quite not sure what it means. Mm-hmm. But maybe we should just call it sort of essential or fundamental skills that we teach here and get more traction. Hey, thanks for coming on again.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
And would you come back? And I want to talk a little bit in the next podcast about what it means to major in liberal arts and where it can lead you. And those people out there, students out here who want to do liberal arts, we could talk to them about.
Sounds great.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Sure.
This program is produced in the studios of WVYC-FM, the voice of your college, and produced by WVYC radio station manager Jeffrey Schiffman. Join Dean Barnes monthly for these ongoing conversations about essential skills in the liberal arts.